my brain, and I'm not going to forget it, because, you know, this is going to tie right into, you know, all the vets that have come home from Iraq and Afghanistan. Let me talk about the expenditures that America is spending on this war, okay? You have a National Guard or Army Reserve soldier that is getting paid roughly $2,900 to, if you're an officer, you're getting paid probably $5,000 to sit in a combat zone, okay?
Okay.
And that's what hostile fire pay, the whole nine yards. Well, then, you got a KBR employee, whether he be American, Syrian, whatever his nationality is, Australian or whatever, getting paid $120,000 a year to sit there. Okay, so that means you have two personnel. Let's see, you want to multiply, I don't know what the exact math is off the top of my head on that soldier a year, making $3,000, let's just say $34,000 a year to sit in that combat zone, just rough figures,
right.
Okay? Plus, you've got the KBR fella sitting over there making $120,000, so you're spending $150,000 for them two individuals to be in a combat zone. Well, let's see, KBR is doing most of the damn work over there, okay? So, they're hauling all the supplies, they're doing all the food cooking, all the laundry, you know, all the buses. Oh, and mind you, if a truck driver goes out on the road and an IED goes off on that truck, that person coming back off of that truck, they say, I don't want to go back out on the road again. They sit on the base, not doing anything, collecting a paycheck. So, we're spending all of this money a year on these two individuals. Well, the soldier is sitting around not doing anything just to collect a presence from, you know, just so that we can have a presence in Iraq.
Right.
Okay. We just need to have a presence in Iraq. Well, alright, so that's just two individuals. That's a soldier that's not doing nothing, that's going to come back home, and is going to do nothing, is going to be lazy in the whole nine yards because they don't know how to put their lives back together. You know, they've had to sit around, they've had to put up with all the crap and the BS that Bush lies about that says it's not happening. You know, the morale, oh, it's great, oh, really? It is? Well, I don't know what the POW in my own freaking country.
I haven't seen morale be that great, and you know, in all honesty, with almost everybody I've talked to, I've spoken to a lot of soldiers over the last 3 years. I'd say morale was about 2 out of every 10. It was probably about 20% that were actually happy, satisfied, and you know, even at the point of willing to go back and had volunteered to go back. The rest of the guys, the other 80%, no. It wasn't happening, you know, and no matter what the press says and what Bush says, I can tell you, and I'm sure you've seen it, that is about, but what is it, about 80% that you saw?
Yeah, something like that.
Maybe 70. Yeah. I'll go lower. I'll say 70% are dissatisfied and 30% are stand up happy and, you know, and willing to keep going with it. But, I mean, that's an awful lot of guys who have seen it and said, forget it, I'm not happy, and yet, you know, it's really been a silent issue. Every time you said it the other day, every time you see a high-level officer on TV, it's all great. Men are happy, we're doing a great job, we're happy to go out here, and then you see the same unit 3 days later take five or six dead while they're out doing these, you know, doing these humanitarian missions, and you know, I think that speaks for how bad the Iraqi people don't want them over there.
What humanitarian missions?
Yeah.
Where are you getting that info for humanitarian missions? Because there's none going on.
I saw Colonel Stephen Brown say that they were doing a great humanitarian mission not 5 days ago.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah, they're helping to rebuild. I mean, they're helping to, you know, to build up, to build schools. And they are doing some of that, but where is the humanitarian supplies?
Yeah, you said that before, man. So, I mean, have you talked to any of the guys that have recently come back and kind of got any change in the general circumstances over there, or from what you've seen in left, you left in 2004, and the guy's coming back now, nothing has really changed at all, besides great amounts of media propaganda from what it looks like of how great it is. So you don't see anything new going on from the new guys?
Yeah, the guys that are coming home, I make it a point to try to talk to them and see what's, get the feel for what is actually happening. And, the things that I am hearing, it's predominantly the same thing. They're not doing anything. They're sitting, they're being told the same things, that KBR is supposed to be the one that, they've got total control over everything, but, they're not doing anything. What is our mission? I get on the Yahoo chat rooms a lot, and I take it for what it's worth, but, I listen to guys that talk about, their soldiers, and I'll quiz them. I'll ask them, I'll ask them certain specific things about Iraq and whatnot that I know to be true, just to see if they're telling me the truth or not. And but most of the time when they pass the test, I know they're telling me what the truth is, because not a lot of people know certain specific areas, certain specific routes and things of this nature, the general public wouldn't know.
Right.
And they will tell me, they will tell me the same thing. They'll say that, it sucks over here. You can go on any Yahoo military chat room and you can see if there's any soldiers that are sitting in Iraq on the internet, and they'll say the same thing. We're doing nothing. We're sitting here. We're doing meaningless tasks. We're putting ourselves in danger, by just being here, just being there and doing nothing and listening to a mortar round come in. I had a little kid ask me, today, and this was the innocence of it. He asked me, he said, I heard that them guys over there, them Iraqis, that they weren't very good shots. And I said, son, a mortar round, an RPG, does not distinguish if you're a good or you are a bad shot. If you are there and you are in the way of that mortar round or that RPG, it was a good round that was spent. There's no distinction in where a mortar round goes, where a Chinese rocket hits, where a SAM hits, where a RPG goes. There's no distinction in it.
Kind of to mirror that, and I hate to say it like this, but, with us over there, there's no way to tell where our rounds are going, which incites the population even further. I've said this to you before, when I hear this from these guys that say we had a fire into the crowd, and we knew by opening fire we were going to kill somebody, and we knew tomorrow, the next day, there was going to be a bunch more people coming after us because of that, and we're in a no-win situation, I think that's the point I want to make is, on either side, there's a lot of people that just get jacked right in the middle of it, and it involves, every time something like that happens, one of our guys dies, and we shoot somebody back, the fires just go higher over there, and then 10 more people die from the army, and then 10 more people die from the civilian side, and it's a bloody cycle in my mind that it doesn't stop.
Yeah. Well, like I said, this all boils down to a global agenda. The United States wants to have total domination, total economic domination over the world. That's what it boils down to. And you can see this in documents that have been put out. The New American Century is a document that was put out back in 1990 that talks about, reconfiguring our military. If you take a look at the new transatlantic agreement with the European Union that the United States signed with the Europeans and the EU, you will see where it specifically starts talking about the fact that United States is working with the European Union to have total global domination over everything,
Right.
The problem of it is that America has stuck its nose in the business of too many people. We need to withdraw it. We need to take a look at our own affairs for a little while and deal with our own affairs. We need to stop pilot. I ain't talking about, and I want to make this very clear. These are my words. Douglas Angelo Barber, this is my words. Not somebody putting the words in my mouth. Not somebody else that has brainwashed me or dictated me. So Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, anybody else, I want you all to know that these are my words that I am speaking, and I stand by every single word that I have just said and quoted. But let me say this, that we need to pull our people back. We need to deal with our own country for a little while. I am not advocating war, and I'm not advocating peace. There's a time for everything.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That's just like, I'm going to touch an issue just very briefly, and it's an